Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Scott Hensler on Scott Hensler Network. It's Saturday. I tried to do the seven deadly sins a couple days ago, and apparently the devil just didn't want me to do it, and I ran into a lot of technical difficulties, as I do with my websites releasing the information that would enlighten you to understand exactly what's going on in the world today. A great example was when I witnessed the Chinese rocket being launched off the West Coast that flew over Los Angeles, eventually Phoenix, and then disappeared over in the eastern skies over New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado. When I wrote on that subject and posted it on my websites for selling emergency supplies and outdoor apparel, that I immediately was knocked out of Google ranking. I literally was having 17,000 visitors a month, and I went from that to literally zero within 48 hours after posting the article on that rocket. So I know that the NSA and those different agencies, including other countries, which are all under the auspices of the Illuminati. And for those that think that that's all a conspiracy theory, it is a conspiracy fact. What is a conspiracy? It's two or more people plotting. You can conspire yourself to do a crime such as conspiracy to commit murder. So what it means is simply plotting ahead of time and organizing. And so you've got a situation today where this has been going on for not just hundreds, but actually thousands of years, and we are in the last days, so we're seeing this all come to a head. So when I talk about the subject matter tonight, the seven deadly sins, I want to break it up into what the Catholic Church and society and literature have taken what is in Proverbs 6 and twisted it. Now, the sins that you would see in the Hollywood movies and from the Catholic Church and so forth, now they certainly have their base in the fact that these are sins. And we'll just get into the first one that the Catholic Church and Hollywood discuss on the seven. And the first one is lust. Now, we know that if we perceive or pursue something in our flesh that draws us in, I call it an iniquitous pull, meaning that we're brought to a place that God didn't want us to go. And so we may lust after our wives, we may lust after our husbands. That is a God-ordained, and I want to be very clear about this, that when you respect and love your mate, your wife, your husband, and you desire them, God wishes that you're to be together. Sex is a gift. But when you venture outside of marriage, it then has consequences of disaster. And that is because it is a sin to commit adultery. It is a sin to fornicate outside of marriage. And that also creates a soul tie when you lie with somebody else, because we were intended to be relational under God with one man, one woman. And that means that when you give yourself to others, let's say that you lost your virginity at 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, which is obviously not unheard of, that at that point in time, you become one flesh with that individual. So when you lust, then that means that you're desiring either the one that you're with or that you've split yourself up and you're lusting after someone else. So now you're a divided individual. You're no longer able to focus on the one that God had for you. You're no longer who God intended you to be. You are a fragmented, fractured individual that is as it says in Scripture, like a man who sees himself in the mirror, and then when he walks away and leaves, he forgets what he looks like, because we're not able to sustain ourselves in that godly relationship by giving ourselves. Okay, so lust in Matthew, for example, that even to look upon a woman as committing adultery, because we're lusting in our hearts. We've imagined, we've done this sin in our spirits, so to speak, in our minds. And so, yes, absolutely, that does have a consequence as being sinful. Now, gluttony. Now, Proverbs talks about this. To hoard, to covet, to indulge to the point that maybe it becomes an idol for you. Food, for instance, you know, you've heard the saying that we eat to live, I don't live to eat. And so that means that we're not going to take things into our bodies that are excessive or are poisonous or toxicity to us, and that if you take them in, and unfortunately today with GMOs, and I've got other teachings on this when it comes to chemical sensitivities, but cancers, and that includes vaccinations and what they're spraying on us. But if you eat the wrong things, you increase your chance of receiving cancers and different illnesses. Even those that partake in an alcohol and an indulgence, obviously you can have liver failure. You can take your mind and take away those thought processes that would have normally operated without alcohol, especially those children who indulge in alcohol early, why their minds are still maturing and growing. Because one, they're learning, but they're also, their minds are full of raging hormones, and you've got thought processes that when you endure pain and you endure losses, that you mature from it. But when you indulge in alcohol, you're numbing your senses, and so you're really not maturing while you're consuming large amounts of alcohol. So this is one of the aspects of gluttony. Food can be the same thing, and we know that if you're depressed, you may eat. So absolutely, and again, Proverbs discusses this. Now, greed, meaning to want more than you should have, or wanting to take away from others. This is a narcissistic behavior, in that if you're in a relationship with your wife, your husband, and you truly love them as God intended, you want to be there for them. They're not there to serve you. And so if you think that way, that everyone is there for you, you've centered yourself in a narcissistic situation, that you become greedy. You take from others. You're not a giver. And when you're not a giver, then you're a taker. And that means that you literally suck everyone else dry in emotions, financial, lifestyles, just even in your family with your children. And so obviously, again, Proverbs discusses this. And so that's not a good situation to be greedy. Now, laziness. Well, let's break that down into passing the buck, to not take care of what you can take care of today by allowing it to go into tomorrow. So one of the issues that I see with people, that when pain causes them to do things that they wouldn't normally do, and that means to not take care of things as well. So we see people who are in broken relationships, maybe they're separated from their spouse, and their spouse is literally run off, is engaged with another man or woman, and you then have a right, by the way, to divorce that individual because they have broken the blood covenant. They have lied with somebody else. They have engaged in sex outside of marriage. They've fornicated. They've committed adultery. And so that practice then, again, as I mentioned before, under lust, fragments you. And so by not divorcing, and God hates divorce. There is no question about that. It's a piece of paper you rip in half. You can't rip it straight. You've got jagged edges on it. That's exactly what happens to your soul. But Jesus didn't die so you could be abused. And if you're going to allow yourself to be taken advantage of and abused, you're not going to be the man and woman of God that God intended you to be. And by letting them go, if they're not in the faith, and obviously they're not practicing or doing the commandments that God wants them to do, and they're not moving forward, as Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So that means that you have to let them go in order to heal yourself, because if you're broken, you're wounded, you're fragmented, you're absolutely no good to God's kingdom. And that means that you're not able to witness, you're not a good witness yourself, because you haven't got the light of Christ in you. And you're also allowing, through depression, through anxieties, to allow the devil to kick you around. And that should make you angry. Because you are a child of the Most High God. You are an heir to His kingdom. That means that you've been elevated up, you've been given a spirit of God, you've been made in His image, and therefore you should not take it. So if you're being abused, ladies, if you're being abused, gentlemen, by your spouse or girlfriend or someone that you're in relationship, you need to either break it off with them or lay the law down. And you need to stick to your guns, because as I said, Jesus didn't die so you could be abused. He died that we may have life and more abundantly. He died so we could be brought back into relationship with God. He died so we could have eternal life and spend it with Him. And that means that since we are not brought to condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that you are given all power and all authority over the devil. So if there's a situation that puts you in the circumstance of being beat up and kicked around, you're doing it yourself. And that, by the way, is a sin, because God has called you to a higher level, that when you receive Jesus Christ, then you accept who He is, you accept the mind of Christ, and by not following in what He wishes for us to be, otherwise being in His grace and being under His covering, then you're rejecting what Jesus Christ did for you. I want you to understand that. And again, that should make you angry. So when it comes to laziness, you need to stand up. You need to be. You need to understand who you are in Christ, and you need to rise up and deal with situations. And, you know, some of these teachings that I do are also to remind myself. There was a time when I, if you have been listening to some of my broadcast, I was very sick from industrial chemicals. And I had absolutely no idea what was really wrong with me. The doctors didn't know. And I just kept getting sicker and sicker. And some of you may know what I'm talking about. And if you do, I am so sorry that you're going through that, because most people haven't got a clue what's really wrong. And they think that you don't have enough faith, or they try and accuse you of being some person that just wants confusion all the time. That's not the case. If you're truly poisoned, if you truly have toxins in your system, where something has been done to you, like in a vaccination or drugs that were given to you, prescriptions, and they've changed you, otherwise they've damaged your liver, they may have caused nerve damage, as we see with these terrible commercials on TV that you know, three quarters of the commercial is all the side effects, then you're unable to do things yourself. And that's why we need to be, as a brethren group, a church, to assist our brethren, to lift them up, to pray for them, to heal them. Again, that's part of the commandment of Jesus Christ, and that to heal the sick, to set the captives free, to bind up the brokenhearted, to restore sight to the blind, and cast out demons. And so by not doing this, then a person is bound and in the situation. So if you're choosing to be lazy because you do not want to deal with the situations, that is a sin. So, but if you're in a situation where you are being demonically oppressed and you need prayed for, then the church is lazy and they are sinning. Now, wrath. The wrath meaning that you provoke, you inject, you project onto somebody the hatred in your heart. Someone has made you mad and you come after them. There's vengeance. Vengeance says that this is mine, not yours. And so you're not to do that. You're to back away. You're to turn the other cheek. And anyone that does this, it has not ended well for them. I have seen so many people, so many Christians in the church that have been offended, that have been, something's been done to them, and they make an oath. They say, I will never allow that to happen to me again. I'm going to get them back for this. Do not make oaths. Let your yes be yes and your no's no. Do what God calls you to do. Do what Jesus has called you to do, because he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and that means no wrath. So by taking it upon yourself and going after somebody, especially another Christian, it is not going to end well for you. Now, envy. Well, boy, I tell you, that can be very, very difficult in today's world. Many people are financially under curses. They can barely make ends meet. They have to work, and they look over and see somebody else, you know, that's just everything's dropping in their lap. Everything, they've got the Midas touch. Their thumb is gold. They can do no wrong. So I can understand how that can come into your heart, into your spirit, to be envy. But you need to remember that you may be under a curse, and that that curse can be broken. And so if the devil ensnares you into envy, he can keep you in a circle that may bring wrath, may bring greed, may bring gluttony, and may be lustful. These are all works of the flesh. And so this is a trap to keep you thinking that, well, I should be, you know, retaining this. I should be getting more money. I should be able to do this. I should have the big house, you know, blah, blah, blah. I get it. I understand. And no one wants to live in a slum. No one wants to live in the street. But there's a point where that you are allowing that to be your idol. You're allowing that to control you. And so first seek after the kingdom of God, and then these things will be brought onto you. So this is what you need to do. And so don't allow envy to be the pilot in your life. First Peter discusses this. Now, I want you to notice that, remember, I'm reading the one from Hollywood, from the Catholic Church, that pride, number 7, is the last one. I want you to take note to this, pride. Now, pride is thinking that you're better than everybody else, thinking that you deserve things, that you're smarter, you're better looking, that you've been set aside by God. I see this in the predestination church, and I'm sorry, but this is what I have seen, because I over the past 14 years in the deliverance ministry, I've seen just about everything, and there's a lot of pride in that church, and a lot of pride too in other types of ministries that indoctrinate a person into thinking that money cometh. and that we should be rich and so forth. And so this is a situation that, again, steers you away from God's real purpose for us on this life. He wants us to be happy, obviously, but he's also said that we will have trials and that we need to place God first, that Jesus needs to be our first love. And by getting out of that order can again ensnare us back into situations that when we see when somebody else may be under curse, by the way, if you are so prideful that you stand next to somebody, especially sitting next to someone in the pew in the church and you think, well, I have nice clothes and they don't. Doesn't look like they bathe today and I have $1,000 cologne on. I mean, this is ridiculous. Because you don't know what curse this individual may be under, and that you as a Christian have actually been called to pray for this individual to break that curse off of them. Now, the individual sitting next to you might actually be in sin, and they're actually going through a time to crucify the flesh, as we see in Acts, to be turned over to the tormentor. But at the same time, we're to be loving and encouraging. And pride, being a narcissistic behavior, is the exact opposite. Now, again, notice that they put pride last. Now, when we actually look at Proverbs 6, we see that Proverbs being written by Solomon, who was the son of King David, the king of Israel, which is, he was considered a incredibly knowledgeable individual. Proverbs in himself, meaning that you have knowledge, you have discernment, you have wisdom. And so the Proverbs that he wrote was through experience, was also imparted onto him by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, was in the Old Testament. It came, because remember, Jesus wasn't born yet. And so we see that Jesus had to allow himself to be crucified to break the curses, to break the curse of man, the fall of garden, and that he had to leave, that another returns. The Holy Spirit isn't really named, but it is a term where his spirit is here, part of the Trinity. Now, in his experiences and wisdom comes warnings, and also comes do's and don'ts, truth. This is what Proverbs is all about. So when Proverbs, being inspired by God, puts pride first, notice the Catholic Church put it last. Pride is actually first in the Word of God, and that Satan, Lucifer, who thought he could become like a god and rise and elevate himself above, that's one of the terms of the Illuminati, and that in that he fell. So how interesting that was twisted around, when in truth it's really the first that's marked, because if you are prideful, these are behaviors. And Proverbs 6, that is described as being detestable to God. He doesn't like it. It's an abomination, meaning that it is, he turns away from it because he's disgusted by such behavior of his children. Because remember, we're made in the image of God. So then therefore, why do we behave the way that we do? Well, we are given free choice. We're in the world. And we have great influences from the demonic. So again, since Satan, being the first narcissist and having pride, that pride is obviously what God finds detestable, because he saw what it did. He sees what it does. And it's the exact opposite of humbling yourself, that you may become like little children. So then in that, you can come to the Lord Jesus. Now, the second meaning is lying. Lying tongues. So if God is truth, if Jesus is truth, remember when Pontius Pilate, when Jesus was before them, he asked Jesus, what is truth? Well, Jesus is truth. God's word is truth. He's a cornerstone. These things were put in place from the beginning. And since God is truth, then he is the the baseline of how we should live our lives. This is why we were given the Ten Commandments, and this is why I'm trying to do these broadcasts, because I want you to understand that the moment that you get away from truth, you're going to be ensnared by lies, by deception. And who is the father of lies? It's Satan. And so a lying tongue is going to be a demonic tongue, and that we will lie to ourselves, we will lie to others, and when we lie to ourselves, then we can have our conscience seared, and we can be turned over to a debased or retrobate mind, because we may convince ourselves in the lie that if we continue in our sins, we are not going to face the consequences, we are not going to face the judgment of God. Now, again, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, obviously, that's a very powerful statement, because, one, it's the second after pride, and that if you are a liar, then you're not able to receive the truth. So, that's pretty important. Now, hands that shed innocent blood. Now, remember, this is out of Proverbs. This isn't the Hollywood version. Hands that shed innocent blood. I'm not going to get into abortion, but it is obviously falls under this category. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, who redeems us from those things. But we also, before I go any further, I want to get into Galatians, because there's a comparison. I remember Proverbs in the Old Testament, but Galatians in the New Testament. And that we see in Galatians 5:19 the works of the flesh. We have idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outburst of anger, of wrath, again the wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness. Now, these sins are going to cause you to not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, how do I know that? Because that's the next verse that comes in here that says, these who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we can come back to Proverbs and see where these are all falling into place, that when we look under Galatians, that when we see murder, it's the same as hands that shed innocent blood. So God is telling us in the Old Testament and the New Testament that if we continue in these things, now we make mistakes. I'm flesh. I'm human. I'm a man. And again, my teachings help remind myself the walk that I need to continue forth, because I do not want to give Satan a foothold into my life. I have been doing deliverance now since 2001, and actually earlier, but that was when I professionally went into it. And when I say professionally, not as in making money, but that became my life. There is no money in deliverance, by the way, because much that has been given, that I have received, I need to give. I need to, what has been done for me, I'm doing for others. Let me tell you, anybody that's in the deliverance ministry, and God bless you if you're in it, that you're in a constant battle, a spiritual battle, you're an intercessor, you're intervening, you're intercessing for other people, and that means fighting their demons. Now, when I was delivered, when I was healed, when I was set free, and there were some stumbling blocks where I fell back a few times, and then I got hammered. Why? Because I allowed the demons another legal right to me and had to get cleaned up again. It can be a process. This is the consecration of your flesh, of your soul. Now, your soul is different from your spirit. We are tripart beings. We are body, spirit, and soul. Now, our bodies are a human physical aspect. Our souls are part of who we are with our personalities, and the spirit is what God places into us. Remember, God is the Father of spirits, and we are made in His image. So, by sinning, then we allow demons a right to us. And this right can be a large open door, or it can be something that is progressive, that builds up, and then finally it all comes crashing down. So if you are a, quote, murderer, or that if you indulge in the practice of abortion, if you are in the secret societies, the Luciferian, the cult that does sacrifices, if you are in the military, in a agency, because all the agencies are compartmentalized, meaning that God bless our men and women in the military. But there are departments that are there solely under the auspices of the Pentagon, which has been under the control of the CIA and the Illuminati, which again falls under the category of Freemasonry, that they murder, they destroy, they shut up, they kill, they silence, they eliminate the opposition. And what is the opposition? Well, if you're a Christian, you're the opposition. Because that means that if they're able to murder, that their conscience has been seared, that they've been turned over to a retrobate mind, that they then are of their father, the devil. And that means that they move forward in the power and authority of the devil and not the power and authority of Jesus Christ. And because this country has been under these deadly sins for a number of years, we were once a blessed nation. We were brought up as a Christian nation, but we were also side by side with the Freemasons, the Illuminatis. And so this nation has been building a future with both good and evil, and now evil is prevailing because, as I did on my last broadcast, where have all the good men gone? Meaning that those who stayed silent, the churches that stayed silent, allowed evil to progress to get to a point where it's the tares outnumber the wheat. And so we're in a situation where nuclear war is ready to break out, and that we have famines, we have pestilence, we have Ebola that is literally knocking at our door, that could wipe this nation out in a bloodbath, because Ebola literally eats from the inside out, and the body fluids that literally come from this disease are horrific. And I fear that that is exactly what this government has been doing by allowing the borders to be open. I know that other talk show hosts and other ministries and people well known are saying the same thing, and I absolutely believe it as well. There is no question, because it's insanity to do what they're doing. So this means the shedding of innocent blood, because there are men, women, and children in this country who are God-fearing, who are innocent, that they've taken no part in the occult, and they are going to be a blood sacrifice. And so let me point out again in my teachings, and what I'm trying to do in the deliverance is I want you to know who your enemy is. I want you to know that this is a spiritual war, that the only way we're going to win it is through the blood of the Lamb, through opening your heart, opening your mind and your spirit to the Lord Jesus. Because he gave us the power and authority over everything I'm talking about here, over everything that's being done right now to us in this nation. But because the churches stay silent, because they have not raised up as God called them to do, and we also see this in great detail in the book of Revelation and those things that are coming, that we're actually in very bad shape. And so if I can only get a few of you in these last days to repent, to understand who you are in Christ, and to turn your life over to him, because he is the only one that's going to save us in this. And by doing so, we may lose our lives, but we're going to live forever. Our life on this planet is only a flash in the pan compared to eternity. And I don't wish bad to happen to anybody. But you know what? I would rather die in Christ than to live in sin and then spend eternity in the lake of fire. Our spirit will live forever, and it's your choice where that spirit lives. So again, as I read this stuff and I do the teachings, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm trying to get you to understand that the devil hates you. He's using you. And when he's done with you, he's going to put you out. He's going to extinguish you. He's going to laugh while he's doing it. How many people have been taken advantage of, or someone's done a cruel trick to you, and they were laughing at you when it happened, and it humiliated you? Maybe it was in front of people, and you've seen this done to others, and maybe you've even been the one who's done it to them. That's exactly what the devil's going to do. And the only way that you're going to survive this in spirit is through Jesus Christ. So if you are in the occult and you have shed innocent blood, if you have been involved in abortion, Jesus Christ paid for all past, present, and future sins. So that means that by repenting, that Jesus Christ, for what he has done on that cross, then washes you clean, brings you out from underneath the law, places you in the light before the Most High God, that you are brought back into relationship, and that God will accept you into his kingdom, because no one comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. And so any other means is not going to get you there. And again, back to the lying, back to the deceiving, back to greed and lust, these things that would cause you to be in the flesh, as Galatians 19 describes. Because we also see in Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit. And so what is that? Well, we have love, we have joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering meaning that no matter what's been thrown at you, you never waver, you never change. You do not walk away from your first love. Kindness, by extending kindness. And boy, I tell you, that's a challenge, isn't it? Sometimes the day's bad. If you got young kids, they're screaming, they're hungry, they're sick. Everyone's irritable. You're down in the southern states where it's, extremely hot. The air conditioning, your car doesn't work. You're stuck. I get it. But do not practice such things. And when you do something, repent. Repenting will bring you out from underneath the curse that could be waiting for you to commit while committing these sins. So goodness, meaning that you do things that show the love of God. Faithfulness, that you're faithful to your spouse, you're faithful to your job and your kids, and that you're not going to be doing something that is contrary and could possibly jeopardize your marriage, your job, or your family. You're faithful. You're faithful to Jesus Christ. You're faithful to God. You're faithful to the Word. And again, the gentleness, meaning that as you come up to somebody and they may be sinning, your gentleness instead of condemnation shows that you have the love of Christ in you. Many people that I pray for have been beat down so bad that when a, quote, religious Christian comes along and condemns them for not having faith, when in reality they've been beat up to the point that they can't even defend themselves, that if they'd only come in love and gentleness, that the person that they were supposedly witnessing to would have received it. Instead, I can remember one pastor, and I won't mention any names, but the last thing that he had done to a individual was he was harsh with them. There was an altercation, or not an altercation, but a fender bender in a parking lot. And the pastor became unhinged over it and said some very harsh words. And shortly after that, the individual was killed. And so the last words that the young man heard from the pastor was a condemnation. And the pastor, to this day, I believe, feel very badly about that, because that has really eaten at him, that he himself, who's supposed to be a representation of the love of Jesus Christ, was in the flesh. So you can understand, and we hear this all the time. I know that people that I've dealt with and when I say dealt with in the deliverance ministry, that maybe they had a parent that committed suicide or a parent that had a child commit suicide, and the last thing that was done was that there were some harsh words and now there's no way to take those words back. But again, through the blood of the Lamb, through the remission of sins, to confess the things you've done and to speak out and to ask Jesus to heal you, those things can be lifted, they can be rectified. They can be changed forever because God has that power, and thank goodness for that. Because otherwise, I think this world would be in much worse shape than it is. Now, self-control, meaning that, well, I'm not going to get back. I'm going to stay away from addictions. I'm not going to, again, this would be the greed, the gluttony, to allow yourself to be taken into things. And, of course, the fender bender thing, that, you know, self-control where, you know, have you ever heard the statement that if you get mad, to count to 10, to take some deep breaths? Well, here's one of the issues, and this is a true fact, that when hypertension comes in, the restriction of your vessels, that blood flow to your brain can be restricted. And when that happens, because your brain receives literally half the oxygen that is produced out of your lungs compared to your body, that's how much that it takes to operate. So the moment that you starve, there can be a fight or flight circumstance that arises. And so fear or an anxiety or a quick decision making can take place. So by taking a step back and not operating in the flesh, again, exercising self-control by taking in deep breaths can bring that hypertension down, can loosen the body so the blood can flow back into the brain. You can start thinking right again. This can be one of the reasons that there's such a tremendous amount of rage and anger and abuse in relationships and murder is through this very process. But if you've got demons within your body that are causing hatred, contention, anger, wrath, which, by the way, that is the spirit that does such things, this is what they are. This is like a personality disorder. They are that. And when they come into us through sin, through generational curses, then an individual, and we've all seen this, and maybe you're this way right now, or you've been this way in the past and you were delivered, that you are always angry. You're always anxious. You're always fearful. Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, we have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of sound mind. So when we have self-control, when we have the fruits of the Spirit, then we have literally eliminated all the demons that are the contrary to the Word of God. So that's very, very important. Now, continuing here, feet that run swift to evil. Otherwise, that if you see something that is luring you in with an iniquitous pull, there you may drive. Let's say that you're a man that's been dealing with lust, and you drive by a stripper place or a pornography place, and you maybe pass by it several times, and then one day you give in. Now that's not swift doina. That's an iniquitous pull. But somebody that just says, you know what, I'm just going to do this. I don't care what the consequences are, and I don't care what it does to other people. I'm going to do this. I'm going to satisfy myself regardless of the consequences and the harm that it does to other people. You say, well, that's a choice. That it's not going to... Yes, it does. It harms other people. Why? Because if you're married, if you are in a relationship with other people and you're allowing yourself to be pulled into evil, and that evil can be drugs, can be alcohol, can be sex addiction, can be crimes that involve you to take money, such as gambling, thievery, to embezzle, to take things that aren't yours, swift to run, because that then fills the flesh, allowing you to have the greed and the gluttony and the other things that would satisfy your flesh. Then spirits then, because of your sin, come in, and those spirits then can be transferred to your family. So let's say you're a man that goes to a prostitute or a strip joint. I've always said that with every lap dance, you get a free demon. Because your sin of this is, again, lusting, then you're allowing the spirit to have a legal right to you, and you bring it home to your spouse. So those who are swift to do such things, that also means that you haven't crucified anything. You really haven't turned yourself over to Jesus Christ. Because those that do, then the Holy Spirit speaks to them and doesn't bring condemnation, but brings the understanding that you've done wrong. And in that, you will then have that desire to repent, to not allow it to be a stronghold in your life, and to keep you from doing such things as we see in Galatians, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I've argued with people over this, that whether you're losing your... I don't like the term losing your salvation, but I really believe that at a certain point in time, that if you continue with what you're doing and you do not repent, that there's going to be a point in time that God will turn away from you. Now, as long as you draw breath in this earth and repent, you can come back. But those who believe in the pre-trib rapture, if you're in the sack and you're fornicating, you're committing adultery with someone that's not your wife, and Jesus returns, and by the way, yes, it happens in the church, then you think you're going? So you're lying to yourself if you think you can do what you want, and that God is not going to see this as turning your back on Jesus Christ. Very serious. Now, false witness. That if you partake in, again, in like a conspiracy, where there may be someone in the church that you want to get rid of, someone within your company, even someone within the family possibly, and that you bear false witness, you lie, you have a lying tongue, Satan's the father of all lies, and that if by doing such thing, you are of your father, the devil. And that means that you're willing to harm, to hurt, to destroy, to discredit somebody else. False witness. This is a very evil act, and God will act swiftly. He will punish you. There is no question about it. I have seen it. I've seen those in the church that have done this to fellow Christians, because we get down to here on the last one, one who sows discord among the brethren. Notice those are right next to each other. That when you do that, you separate the house of God. A house divided cannot stand. It is a plot of the enemy to come in and segregate and keep you from being whole. Because where two or more are gathered, Jesus says, there I am. If you're divided like a person that has multiple personalities and you're fragmented, you never know what you're going to get. You're never going to be the full power that God intended in that church. That means the devil has you. And if the devil has you, destruction will come swiftly when the time is right. So repent. Walk up to your brethren and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. What can I do? I apologize. Lord, forgive me. Repent. God will forgive you. And by the way, by doing that, you'll mature in Christ. For one, you've rebuked the devil. And when you rebuke the devil, he needs to flee. And when he flees, that means the Holy Spirit can come in. Because if you, in your body, this is where sicknesses come in. And the battle's in the mind, and this is where mental illnesses come in. This is witchcraft, by the way, is the basis of mental illness, of insanity. Sorcery, bringing by doing drugs, pharmakeia, to reach an enlightenment, to do things that you are doing a divination to obtain information, to gain power, to gain strength from the spirit realm. Hence my book, Second Heaven Invasion, And I discuss that in those chapters on deliverance, on curses, on spiritual warfare, to reverse the things that Satan has tried to bring upon you to destroy you. Because through the blood of the Lamb, through his willful sacrifice on the cross, he has empowered us to remove these things. So no matter what you've done, I don't care if it's, you know, we'll go back over this, pride. If you were once prideful, if you were once a liar, if you were once a murderer, if you went around, devised wicked plans and caused things to be conspiracies against others, again falling back on sowing discord and being false witnesses and swiftly running to evil, that these things are reversible as long as you draw breath, meaning you're still alive. But if you're going to practice such things, and as we see in Galatians, which are the exact opposites of the fruits of the Spirit, then good luck with you. Anything goes. I won't go into much more than that because I know that there's those will argue this. But you know what? I've been doing this a long time. And I have seen the destruction that these things have done. I myself have had a taste of it in my own personal life. And I know that if I were to continue in those things, I would not be alive today. I know if I hadn't brought myself out of the seductions that brought me into different sins, that the devil would have just hammered me. Because one, we have the seal of God on our forehead. Our names are written in the Lamb Book of Life. That means in the spirit realm, demons know that you are in Christ. They know that God has pulled you out, has set you aside, and has a special plan for you in the last days, because it is no mistake that you are alive today. We are in the last days, and I'll tell you what, it is coming at us so fast that I can't do enough of these broadcasts. I wish I could do 10 a day. I'm trying to do 2 a day to get the message out there. If I can just get a handful. But I want hundreds, I want thousands, because I know these broadcasts go worldwide. And there are so many people who are wounded, so many people who want to come out of homosexuality, so many people who want to come out of the occult, so many people who are in bad marriages, who are just really dying inside. The demons are tormenting you. You're having nightmares, you're having night terrors, you're having visitations. They're molesting you, they're touching you, they're scratching you, they're causing you to be sick. They do things that bring fear into you because you may hear them and they threaten to do things to your children. I mentioned in my book and some of my broadcasts about two officers that were sitting next to me in a coffee shop. And their discussion was based around them hearing voices. Now, these are individuals who swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, meaning our constitutional rights of peace, to as a peace officer. And that if they then hear voices, which do not come from God, by the way, this is a demonic situation, which could be possibly psychotronics, a voice-to-skull technology, I don't know. But the point of it is that if they're dealing with it, then that isn't good. Because at any given moment, when they need to make a decision of life and death, or that they're that let's say they've pulled you over for a traffic violation. You went too fast, okay? And they walk up alongside your car. You're a Christian who really has a destiny in these last days. And this is an individual, an officer, who is not in Christ, who has been federally indoctrinated, Homeland Security, FEMA, is going to do and cooperate with the martial law, that any given moment when the demonization takes place, and it is going to, and I've already seen it, I get emails, I get calls, I deal with people who are dealing with great deals of manifestations, with meaning that the demons in the individuals or people they're dealing with are manifesting, acting out their ugly nature. If they are a spirit of murder, they commit murder. If they're a spirit of hatred, they sow hatred amongst the people. And that means that at that moment, things can get very ugly. This past week, had the opportunity to look at the YouTube video of Pastor Anderson down in, I believe it's Tempe, Arizona. I was raised in Tempe. I lived a great deal of my years in Mesa. I was even involved in law enforcement. And so I know that over the past years, there's been a change that is taking place that literally led to Anderson, Pastor Anderson, being at a stop for supposedly illegal aliens by the border patrols, and that he stood on his constitutional rights not to have his vehicle searched, and that they broke the windows out, they tasered him repeatedly, they cut him with the glass that was from the car, they pulled him from that car, and he was brutalized, basically, for someone that was standing on his constitutional rights. Now, I can assure you that he's a man of God. I've seen his teachings. I have all the faith that he's doing as he's called to do. And that is a classic example of what we're going to be dealing with. Now, I've learned to choose my battles. And I have dealt with situations here in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, that could have turned into that. Being in law enforcement myself, I know that a officer makes a very quick decision whether you are a friend or a foe. Now, if they are a demonized officer, they're going to make a decision that you are an enemy of the state, and they are going to violate your constitutional rights. Now, I'm sorry to say this, but I'm not going to lie to you any longer. We are in a very bad situation where they're being forced to make a choice who they're going to serve. The military is doing the very same thing. And there are signs that have been showing up here as a indication of territory that has been overtaken, meaning that these are insignias of the Illuminati type occult doctrine of the sickle and anvil, the phoenix bird, that represents that the communist, the Russian, have already got boots on the ground in this area, meaning that they've already declared this. They've either done their Luciferian rites over it, they've been through there to know the area when they have to do a sweep, and that this whole area, and by the way, there was a manifestation north of me here, won't go into too much detail, but it's the second claim that the demons have a legal right to the area, and that they're saying that no one can do anything about it. Well, that's false, but what they're meaning is that there's no one standing against them. And with nobody standing against them, they have a legal right to the area, and that they probably will take it if the church does not stand, if the Christians do not stand together. And that is a very bad situation that we're seeing all across the United States. So this is one of the reasons that I have the problems that I do with my broadcast as I reveal this. As I mentioned earlier in the first of this broadcast, when I saw the Chinese rocket that flew, that was launched off, 27 miles or so off of Los Angeles, just north of the Catalina Islands, from a submarine that flew over L.A., through over Phoenix. I personally witnessed it. I have it on my website, the details, where it came from, the time that it took to fly over. And after I posted that, my websites have never been the same since. But I'm not giving up. God is still on the throne. And Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He paid for our sins. So he's calling us to be not in lust or gluttony or greed or laziness or wrath or pride. Again, those are the Hollywood versions, but the proud look, the lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, the heart that devises wickedness, feet that are swift to run to evil, false witness, and one who sows discord. Do not practice such things, for those who do will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's all I can say. and is your choice, because we are given a free choice. And God bless, and I hope you get what I'm trying to tell you, because any other means through Jesus Christ is not going to bring you through God. Good night. God bless.